Barbara Lee, thank you for coming in to talk to me. You are the artistic producing director. It's quite a complicated title at the Milwaukee Public Theater.
Yes.
You put it once before we started recording. You said you are the root. You created it. You were the founder of it, too.
I'm a co-founder. Yes.
Co-founder.
Mike Moynihan and I co-founded the theater in 1974.
In 1974.
Yeah.
So that's
unbelievable.
Almost, yeah, that's a long time. And you founded it. Well, it wasn't called the Milwaukee Public Theater at first.
It was called Friends Mime Theater.
Friends Mime Theater.
Right,
anything to do with Quakers?
No, and that's one of the reasons we changed our
name.
Okay,
I wondered.
In 91.
Right. I don't think of the Quakers as doing a lot of mime.
People kept asking us, and they would say, okay, are you a Quaker, and why do you talk?
Right.
It became obvious we needed a change.
Yeah. You weren't doing just mime. You were actually doing...
No, but physical theater was really at the root of our work.
Right.
And we wanted to be friends. I mean, Mike and I started out as friends. We wanted to stay friends. And we wanted that friend relationship
right.
with the community.
Right.
That's really where the friends came from.
Was your theater designed to work within a small community? And you then began to tour? Or?
No, Milwaukee. We wanted to reach the broader community, but we wanted to... We aspired to a theater that would be free to the public.
Right.
That would be totally accessible to people of all ages and cultures. And we have really stayed true to that over these years.
Good. It seems like when you look at your program, look at your website, it seems like you've stayed true and maybe even sort of made that goal more specific. Because when you said you wanted to be involved in the community of Milwaukee is a really diverse community, but you've...
Exactly.
You've focused on... very particular parts of the community.
Yeah. Well, we've, as children of the 60s.
Mm. Peace, love, granola.
Thank you. we wanted to, of course, change the world.
Right.
And theater is a wonderful venue, much better than politics.
Yeah.
You can make things turn out right.
Yeah, you can actually make things turn out right because it's imagination.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
And I think it can be really inspiring when people can see, oh, yeah, well, this scenario could shift. You can make these changes.
Right.
And if you see it in theater and you experience it as semi-real, it could make that into a real. So
right.
That's always the goal.
Well, now, did you have a theater space, T-H-E-A-T-E-R?
Nope.
When you began?
We have always been an outreach company.
Okay.
And that's the other unusual thing about us. People always ask us, well, where are you?
Right.
We're everywhere. We're in the
wherever
parks.
You
we're
are.
We're in the playgrounds. Right. We're on the streets. We're in the hospitals. We're in the nursing homes. We're occasionally in theaters.
Right.
But that's not where a lot of people are, frankly. Theaters have been kind of the marble palaces that are inaccessible to a lot of people.
Right.
And we really wanted to make sure, okay, we want to reach people where they are. So
Milwaukee Public Theater, the public really is the people. And as you say, you're in playgrounds, you're everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you do spontaneous productions? I mean, just go to a place and...
We have. We have done that. We had, in the old days, of funding.
Yeah. Yes.
Under CESA and some of the other county programs.
Right.
We used to tour in the parks, and we would just show up. And we would set up. We had our own stage. We had all of our own equipment. We would do a little parade around the park.
Right.
And lead people to where we were and then perform.
Great.
Of course, a lot of it was structured. A lot of it was, we said we would be so and so place at such and such a time. But there were certainly some spontaneous ones as well.
Right. Yeah, that's fun to do.
It was very fun.
Especially in the summer in Milwaukee because it's such a great time of year and there's always people in the parks.
Exactly.
Now, the work seems to be focused on, as a child of the 60s, again, on social issues. So,
right.
And you've always tried to do that, entertainment, but education at the same time.
Right.
That's a very noble...
It's quite the tightrope that you walk with this kind of theater.
Well, you...
Because you can be looked at as over-populist, over-didactic. I mean, you really have to watch it. I think especially our shows in the parks are very circus, comedy. There's some satire in there, but little kids from, you know, toddlers to seniors could get it at some level. And that was the fun of it. So
it really is an early sense of, like, I think of Commedia that
absolutely.
Way. Absolutely.
Commedia
right.
was very much at the root also of what
right.
we're doing.
So very physical, very lots of juggling, tumbling, stuff right. like that, and simple stories to tell.
Right. We have departed from that somewhat over the years. I mean, we've experimented with a lot of different forms and multimedia as well. We incorporated. Actually, we were first known as the mime music people because we love to sing. Both Mike and I love to sing. We love to incorporate music. But we also, mime and nonverbal theater is very powerful. It really brings people of all ages into it. They don't have to understand the language. You can right. speak to any culture with mime, too, which is also the incredible magic of it. So having that as our roots really has helped us to do that kind of outreach that we aspire to.
But you are, again, there's that tightrope because there are a lot of people who see a mime or hear about mime and they say, get my mime gun.
Like I say, we've departed from it. We incorporate just everything that we find interesting. We've incorporated martial arts in what we do. We actually do a show, a series of shows now that are based on Augusto Boal's techniques.
Say it again.
Augusto Boal's techniques.
Okay, I'm not familiar.
Interactive theater.
Right.
It's called Theater of the Oppressed or Forum Theater. And it's a way of presenting scenarios that do not turn out well. Then, and we've done this a lot in schools, dealing with drug, alcohol abuse and violence prevention, where the kids see, that didn't go well, and we talk about it. And we say, well, what were some of the choices that were made along the way that made it turn out like that? And then we replay it, and kids step in when they have an idea of a different choice.
Right.
Then they step in, and they portray that. And we see how it turns out. And sometimes it's great, and sometimes it's really, really bad.
It's even worse, right? Right.
But they get to rehearse
They get to be part of it. They get to participate and step up.
Yeah, it's totally empowering.
But now, when you do that kind of theater, as opposed to the way you put it before, which is true, the ivory box or the marble box theater, you personally don't make a lot of money, but that's not the point. But it's also difficult just to pay for it because most everything that you do is for free, isn't
right.
it? So you are dependent upon funding.
Well, yes and no. We have some very creative people who work with us. Kathleen Stacey is our special projects director, and she has been just incredible at reaching out to some of the agencies and organizations that do have money and that want us to come in and do special events, or that we create special kinds of programming that they pay for.
Okay.
We also work a lot with schools and community-based organizations on a contract basis. Mm-hmm. So our income is over half earned, and then the rest is through grants of various kinds.
Oh, great. So now you do have a home base now, do you not, at Lincoln Elementary? Or is that just, that's where your office is?
Well, we've been at Lincoln Middle School of the Arts.
Lincoln Middle School.
Since 81.
Okay.
But there's a lot of shifting going on, as I'm sure you know.
Was another part of my question about funding, because it's great, your why is to be earn your living as much as you can and not be dependent on funding, because funding goes the way the wind goes, whether the political wind, and the political wind right now chooses not to know you exist.
We try to be in their face, but
yeah.
Yeah. We actually have some really, really exciting opportunities right now, because this last summer we were able to work at the Grand Avenue Mall.
Oh, great.
We were in the former Linens and Things, which is 33,000 square feet. We created our...
You were in the store.
In the space. We created this giant parade, the All-City People's Parade,
mm-hmm.
which we did in collaboration with Labor Fest. Giant floats, puppets, mass creation.
All through the Grand Avenue.
Yeah. Well, no, this was just that... We created it in that space.
Right, okay.
But it was a truly... Truly, all city people's parade. I mean, it was created through focus groups where we met with people of all ages throughout the community, talking about their greatest hopes and fears.
Right.
And then we brainstormed images that could go with those ideas.
Right.
And we synthesized that into a theme, which is metamorphosis, because people really felt squeezed and they felt like the change was so imminent that there had to be this massive transformation. So that's what the parade ended up being all about. With giant floats, there was one float where one side was anarchy. these ants that were all against each other and just for themselves.
Right.
And then on the other side of the float was Antopia.
Okay.
All the ants working together.
Working together, so, yeah. Collaborating, right.
So we worked with those, that kind of, that theme where a lot of the pieces changed. They were on the outside, they might be mean and horrible and ugly. And then on the inside, we turned them inside out. And then there, all the good things came out. So
right. And you just finished performing this
yes,
over?
On Labor Day.
On Labor Day. All right. Are most of your shows one shot? One?
Oh, no. No, we tour. We've been touring some of the same shows for about the last maybe 6 years. The shows that the interactive theater shows,
mm-hmm.
These are directed by Mark Weinberg and Jenny Wanasek.
Okay.
They were both professors at UWM. So they have been just incredible. I mean, they run their own Center for Applied Theater, and they do things on their own, and they work with all kinds of different theater companies. But they also have developed a troupe that tours through us.
Okay.
And that's been a really wonderful partnership, I guess I could say, about the last 6-7 years.
Now, when you tour around the state, you tour to schools, middle schools, high schools?
We tour to all different educational organizations.
Okay.
Also community-based organizations.
I was going to say community.
Churches. We also are a member of the United Performing Arts Fund. So, in fact, that's been probably our major support. We really, really want to emphasize the importance of the United Performing Arts Fund. It's been a true lifesaver for so many of us.
Yeah, no, it really has. It's an amazing organization.
And we, one of the wonderful things about UPEF is that we have a chance to go into all kinds of different workplaces to just show a sample of the arts. And so people at Johnson Controls or Northwestern Mutual Life who might never see our show, the parks or wherever, they get a taste of it.
Oh,
and
great.
That's really helpful because then they can understand the incredible outreach that UPEF is able to perform.
Run me through the scenario. So,
Actually, the way it works is UPEF sets up opportunities for mm-hmm. all of the companies that give funding to UPEF who have workplace giving sites where their employees can give. But in order for the employees to really know how important their gifts are, they have to show them something.
Show them what they're paying for,
exactly.
Sure.
We often have a chance to go into these workplaces, and it's just a great opportunity.
No, it is, I'm sure. It's a great opportunity for the people in the workplace, too, to go to work with and have something else happen other than just
exactly.
the grind.
Right.
Now, so very physical theater, but I want to talk about you for a minute because you're in a wheelchair, limited use of your legs, right?
No, I was in an accident in 1988. I was completely paralyzed from the waist down. And since then, about 4 months later, I regained the use of my legs, which is pretty miraculous. I walk slowly,
mm-hmm.
but I walk.
Yeah.
Astronomical.
Yeah, that's amazing. Did that change? Obviously, that changed your performance style because you were a performer before starting. Changed your performance style. Did it affect the company, Milwaukee Public Theater?
Absolutely. In many ways. I had, in the past, Mike Moynihan and I ran the company, and I did some administration, but mostly was touring. And after the accident, I developed a one-woman show, the Survival Revival Review, to kind of help myself, but also help other people understand what it's like to lose half your body. And it was comedy, so it's always really, really helpful in the healing process. And I toured that show for a number of years. Which left Mike really holding the bag in terms of all the
administrative, sure.
And it just became too much for him. So he took a full-time job with MATA, and I had to decide if I could take up the whole weight of running the company or just let it drop. And I decided, what have I got to lose?
Well.
So I may as well try this. So I took a leadership training course.
Oh, yeah.
Give myself a little more confidence. And I got a computer just like Mike's. I got all of his files. I started piggybacking on his writing. He was an excellent grants writer. And I just kind of built the company back up.
So you learned from him and built it right.
Yeah. But I had to reinvent a lot of what we were because Mike was the main writer. So I had to find new people to work with. And my style is so different from Mike's too. I'm not really a director. Mm-hmm. I'm much more of a nurturer. So I would find people who were really passionate about theater and whose work I really loved. And then I could get behind them and and work with them. So I've developed a lot of partnerships.
I imagine that since 1980, when did Mike leave?
94.
It looks to on paper as though you've grown a lot since then in terms of your outreach, how much work you do, how many people work with you.
Yes, it's true.
Because you have how many artists work with you in a ballpark in a year?
Over 100 artists.
Over 100 artists, right. And over 100,000 people must see your work.
Right.
And that's grown a lot. So you've really pushed that rock up the hill.
Yes, people think I'm crazy. You're doing too much. Why are you all over the place? You should be concentrating on a few things. Yeah, we do a lot of quite varied work, and people can't quite grasp all of our tentacles. You know, we just really have a huge outreach.
Well, you do, and wonderful stuff. I'm working now with a man that you've worked with before named Roger Keen, and on a show, From the Start, Consider the Finish, which is a wonderful collection of scenes about end-of-life issues and hospice and all the things attendant to a subject that nobody likes to talk about.
Right.
Because we don't know anything about it. We know about dying, but we don't know anything about what happens after that. We don't like to talk. Yeah. But it addresses it in a very funny way. Mm-hmm. Roger wrote all of it, I guess, or most of it.
And well, based on a book.
Based on a book, yes. And tell me the name of the book. Is that the name of the book, too?
It's called The End of Life Advisor.
That's
Personal,
right.
Legal, and Medical Considerations for a Peaceful, Dignified Death.
Right.
By Susan Dolan and Audrey Vizard.
Okay.
And it's really based on that book, and the vignettes are pretty much taken directly from the book. So
right.
It's an adaptation.
Right. So I guess what Roger's brought to it is just this antic disposition that he has.
And also the music.
And music, right, because there's a lot of singing. Luckily, they don't ask me to sing. I'm what they call a venue actor. When it performs here in Milwaukee on October 11th at UWM at Engelman Hall, and then again in Milwaukee.
Yes, on the 18th of October. And
right.
It's going to be at the Medical College in the Alumni Center.
Now, is the relationship, because he has a group, or just him, I guess, called Voices, is that correct?
Voices Theater.
So he comes to you, and you help him shape it and put it together and put it out?
Well, it's been a really fun and interesting ride working with Roger.
I just rode a couple blocks with him the other day, and that was a fun, interesting ride. So you're longer than mine.
He's extremely inventive. And, of course, what attracted me to Roger's work is that he is so socially conscious.
Mm-hmm.
It's just built into his DNA.
Yeah, he's hardwired that way. Yeah,
totally. And so we started working together when he brought up the idea of creating a show about the Civilian Conservation Corps. That was 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I thought...
The CCC.
The CCC. And I thought, what an incredible idea. I mean, people need to hear about that, because that was a jobs program that really worked. It puts, hundreds of thousands of people back to work.
And that was FDR, correct?
Yeah, FDR. And it also gave their families money, because so much of the money that they made went directly back to their families. Right. So it was a fabulous project to work on. So basically,
and people don't realize that you walk through a national park, you walk through a state park, you do a lot of, you're walking on stuff that's CCC.
Absolutely. And
built.
Here in Milwaukee, there's just a tremendous amount of structures and pathways and bridges that were constructed either by the CCC or the WPA. So we did the show about the CCC 2 years ago, and then last year we toured a show that also included more information about the WPA.
Mm-hmm.
We actually did a bus tour of sites here in Milwaukee that were created by these folks.
Put
together. So I have worked with Raj mainly as a cheerleader. I also have been the one to say, well, let's cut that down a bit. occasionally been an editor. I have raised the money. So we got a grant through the Wisconsin Humanities Council to tour the CCC show. We also got a grant for From the Start, Consider the Finish for a 10-site tour this summer here. For From the Start, Consider the Finish.
That's right. So you're doing it at 10 sites around the state.
Yes.
Just two here in Milwaukee, the two we mentioned.
Right.
Where else in the state?
Well, we actually have done two shows already. One was at Medford and one at Ogama. Baraboo, we're doing that October 4th. Appleton, October 9th. And then, of course, October 11th here in Milwaukee at UWM. And then October 14th at Ladysmith, Wisconsin. the 15th in Dresser, and we'll end the tour here in Milwaukee at the Medical College.
And you're back on the 18th in the Medical College, right? It's a wonderful show, and I hope a lot of people come to see it. I know many classes at UWM are coming to see it, and it's really fun and funny. And it's nice the way he's shaped it, or you and he have shaped it, where two actors go all over and one actor from each venue takes the part of what's called the venue actor.
That was Roger's idea. And I have to say, I thought he was totally out of his mind. Try to do that.
Well, it's a roll of the dice because you don't know who you're liable to get. Liable to get an actor, or you're liable to get a barber, depending on where you are.
Well, barbers can be good actors.
Sometimes barbers are good actors. That's true. They have
and
to be.
That's the wonderful thing about Raj. He has great faith in the public. Truly does.
He does. I mean, people say big heart, da, 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 but he does. He has great trust and great faith and real belief. And
it happens. You know, that's the wonderful part of it. So often it really comes together.
And that has to be said of you, too, to have started this in 1974 and shouldered it and carried it along the Milwaukee Public Theater, that's doing this kind of work against all odds. Because people in this country aren't all that keen on theater until they see it, mm-hmm. but they don't go out of their way to see it. So it's so wise, smart of you to sort of put it in their laps, take it out to them.
Well, also, it's a way of building audiences. There's, let's face it, so many people do not have the money to actually pay for a ticket. But if they see something that inspires them, they're much more likely to save up a few pennies to come and see
to go the next time.
Yes.
Right.
So I think that it's really important that there are companies like grassroots companies like ourselves that reach out to people where they are so that they can really see the power of theater and also the power of themselves as artists. We really try to make sure that our shows are very involving mm-hmm. so that people get to express part of themselves within the show, or there's a talk back afterwards
right.
so that they can link up with the themes of the show. This summer, our project with the All City People's Parade was a classic example of ways that in which the public actually makes the art that is then shown.
One point I was going to ask if you did any teaching or educational programs, but the act of doing plays the way you do them or doing shows the way you do them becomes the teaching mechanism, and you involve the audience so much when you're in a park that it becomes a teaching tool.
Well, we have a variety of shows too. Like, I think I was mentioning the interactive theater mm-hmm. that we do that actually gives people an opportunity to rehearse for life within the show itself. Uh-huh. Because the vignettes are performed and turn out really badly. And then we get to talk with the audience and go, okay, let's try some different choices here. And
okay.
people step in and make those choices and grow from that. See that, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't blow cocaine all over the room or by being pressured. Yeah, those kinds of opportunities really give people more confidence in themselves and
right.
and the fact that they're not alone. They see that, oh, other people go through these kinds of things too. Ways of dealing with bullies, for example,
right.
or things like HIV/AIDS. People don't want to get tested. People don't want to think about the possibility of getting a disease from something as wonderful as sex.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's out there, and people really, really need to face those things. And
right.
that's where our theater, I think, with the humor and with the music and with the upbeat presentations that we offer, people can get into them in a way that they wouldn't a lecture, for example, or something
right.
that's more didactic. But we also do a huge amount of educational workshops and arts residence in all different arts disciplines.
So you really are all over the place.
We are.
Well, thank you very much for coming in and talking to me, for taking the time. And good luck.
Oh, thanks.
And
very
I'll
much,
will I see you on the October 11th?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good.
I'll be there.
And good.
Everyone, please do come. It's a wonderful show.
Because it is both venues, I think, here October 11th and at the Medical College 18th are open to the public, correct?
Absolutely. Right. Free.
I want to talk about the Grand Avenue for
okay.
a minute.
We built the parade at Grand Avenue. Took it out. I mean, it was performed on Wisconsin Avenue as
on
part
the
of the Labor Fest parade.
Okay.
And then we performed it again on the grounds, on the Summerfest grounds.
Right.
In front of the Miller stage.
But now, do you have other projects planned for the Grand Avenue?
Yes. We're taking a leap and hope to be there for a year.
Oh, wow.
Developing all kinds of different projects. So we're just in the very formative stages of that, but we're really excited.
Oh, that'll
the
be fun.
The Grand Avenue folks have been just phenomenal to work with.
Well, you bring people in. You're a good energy to have in there, and so much of it is empty.
Yes.
So much of the time.
And they're really, they have a new management that is really looking at ways of bringing in more creative opportunities. And so there are a lot more organizations now that are taking space at the Grand Avenue that are involved in creative, all kinds of creative activities. So it's going to be a happening place for sure.
Good, good. No, it's great. I mean, it's such a great building and such a great space. So I'm glad that the people are trying to turn some stuff over in there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Good.
We're also doing a project in October called Tap the Potential, where we are doing an art exhibit at the airport.
Right.
This is all art created by people with disabilities.
Okay.
And then we're doing performances throughout the community by artists with disabilities.
Okay.
Kind of break down the stereotypes, you know?
Right.
Guess
sure.
what?
Yeah.
We're people and we have some talent too.
And we can do things too. We can entertain. We can tell stories. We
exactly.
can paint pictures. We can sing. We can do all
yes.
sorts of things. And you have a website?
www.milwaukeepublictheater.org.
Good.
And theater spelled R-E.
R-E, right. The concept.
Yep.
As opposed to the bricks and mortar.
Yes.
Thank you again.
Thanks.